This is file 54, cycle 3. Today's date is October 25th, 2017. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Jennifer Farwell. She's going to talk about the fire department, the junior firefighting program, her liaison for the veterans, and anything else she wants to talk about. But first, we're going to start with the difficult things. What is your name?
Jen Farwell.
That's easy. All right. Now, you have some family background in the fire department, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Who are some of the people in your family that have been involved with the fire department?
My grandfather was a member back in the 50s.
And that would be Ken Farwell Sr.?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
My father, Don Farwell, he was a member in the 80s before we moved to Las Vegas. And then myself.
And when did you join?
I joined in 2014.
And you are a firefighter, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you said that there were different levels of training.
Yes.
And level one is, what kind of training do you do for level one?
So firefighter one, that's your basic introduction to firefighting, just kind of like the basic level of what you need to know to be effective.
Okay. Firefighting 101.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It teaches you how to use air packs, how to vent, all different kinds of need-to-know stuff. So that way, when you get to a fire scene, you're then qualified to wear an air pack. You're trained to fight interior firefighting, to fight interior fires. You know how to go on the roof and vent, all kinds of good stuff.
Okay. And how many hours does that take, roughly?
That one, I believe now, is around 200. They keep changing it.
Oh, yeah. Lovely state.
Yes.
And it costs, what, about $1,100?
I think the last one that I saw, the class that they're currently advertising, was about $1,200.
Do you have to pay for that out of pocket?
No, we don't. We're lucky enough to have a training budget.
Ah.
So the fire company pays for all of the firefighters on Lakeville Hose to go through. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Firefighting. I can't speak for any other departments.
Oh, no, that's. I'm only interested in, like, the hose company anyway. And then there's a level two.
Yes.
And what does that do?
So, firefighter two is basically you get vehicle extrication. They do propane fires. You learn how to use foam, which most engines now are equipped with a CAF system, compressed air foam system. We don't quite understand why all of that stuff is in Fire 2 and not Fire 1, because it is everyday firefighting stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The state knows better, so they've decided to separate them. You get a lot of hazmat in Fire 2 as well.
Okay. And that runs about how many hours?
That one, it was, I want to say 60 hours.
Yep, okay.
We went exactly 2 months for that one.
And it costs about $500?
About that, yeah.
Now, you're trained, but you said you're not trained for air packs because you've got claustrophobia.
Yes.
So, are you limited in the type of fires that you can fight? In other words, you can't do an internal.
I don't go interior, no. Correct.
Because you don't have the air pack.
Correct.
I've been paying attention.
Well, even to do ventilation, to go up on a roof and do ventilation, you're supposed to have an air pack on as well.
Oh,
just
sure.
Because when you ventilate, all this stuff is going to come out through the hole.
Yeah.
It's going to get you. So I'm basically ground operations. I can throw a mean ladder.
I'll bet you can.
I can drag a mean hose. Really, what I want to do is be a pump operator. So that's
what you're being trained for now, isn't it?
That's what I'm working on, yeah.
You also are a driver.
Yes, in order to be a driver in our department, you have to be trained on how to operate the pump. You can't just drive the truck and not know how to operate it.
Ah, they go together then.
Yes.
How many are in the fire company now?
Our active roster is about 42 people.
And the average age has got to be over 50.
Yes, last calculated, which I believe was last year, was 58, I believe.
Oof. And you've got both men and women?
Yep.
And how many women?
Seven, I believe.
Okay. And you have to be state certified.
Depending on what you want to do.
Okay. So the certification depends upon the level of training and the level of expertise you have.
So being state certified means that you've gone through Firefighter 1 class. You have successfully completed the practical portion of the class. Mm-hmm. And there's also a state written exam at the end of the class. You have to pass both the practical and the state written exam to become a state certified firefighter. Now, that is NFPA standards. Mm-hmm. According to OSHA, to be an interior firefighter, you can receive in-house training. Connecticut is an OSHA state.
Okay.
So we follow the OSHA
rules. So you follow the OSHA rules. Mm-hmm. And you're president of the fire company now?
Currently, yes.
Okay. And your term is 1 year?
Yes.
And how do you get chosen for that position?
Well, basically, you have to write your name on the board that you want to run for that position. And then we have an annual vote every year.
Okay.
So as long as you get enough votes, you're in.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Who's vice president?
Hannah Reel.
And secretary, treasurer?
Secretary is Miguel Balaguero.
I'm not going to even try that one. I'm not even going to try that one. And treasurer?
Treasurer is Chip Carlton. He is also our fire marshal.
Fire marshal is a different department than building inspector, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Because it was at one time both.
It was the same person doing
both. It was the same person doing both.
Correct. And then he retired, and now it's two different people.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Before we go on to the junior firefighting program, is mm-hmm. there anything you want to tell me about being a lady firefighter?
Not really. Just I'm grateful for all the women that have gone before me, blazed the trail.
Yeah,
because
it's an honor.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's definitely a man's world, so you have to have the guts and the heart to
do it. yeah. It's I would be going so far away from that. It's nothing I would want to do. But I admire the women that do want to do that and pursue it.
Right,
I truly do. Yeah. Now the junior firefighting program has been going on for about 20 years.
Yes.
Did Larry Hogue start it, or was it started before him? Do you know?
That is a good question. That I don't know.
Okay. But Larry did do it at one time.
I believe so.
And then you said there was Donnie Reed.
Yep.
And Mike White.
Yep.
Bob Flint.
Yep.
And you.
Yep. Bob and I currently are advisors together, yes.
Who's eligible for the junior firefighting program?
Anybody that lives within the township of Salisbury, mm-hmm. and really any teenager between the age of 14 and 17, because once you're 18, you can join the fire company. But any teenager between the age of 14 and 17 in the township of Salisbury or any of our mutual aid companies, so that would be Falls Village, Canaan, Sharon, really Millerton, because they're right next door.
But not Kent. Kent's too far away.
Yes. Yeah, they're not an immediate mutual aid.
Okay. And when do you meet?
We meet every Wednesday night at 6.
And it goes on until you get tired.
Well, it can. But I mean, if we get a really interesting topic, we can go.
Go.
Yeah.
But you said generally it's from 6 to 7:30.
Yeah, we try not to keep the kids too late. I mean, we know we got to get them up. Right? Yeah. They got to get up the next morning for school. So.
And what do you teach?
Everything they need to know about firefighting.
Is it the same sort of thing as Firefighting 1, only on a more basic level?
Yes. Yeah, because there are restrictions. There are things that they're not allowed to do because of their age. So mm-hmm. we have to keep that stuff in mind. But other than that, I mean, they learn all the tools, the placement of the tools on the trucks, what everything is, what it does. I mean, they're obviously not going to handle, like, the chainsaws and stuff yet, but...
No. Yeah, but they know that what the tools are for and where to put them back.
Right, yeah, because really one of their basic functions for us on scene is their gophers.
That's good.
They run... You can tell them, I need this. And they know exactly what truck it's on. They'll go and grab it and bring it right back to you.
How many trucks do you have?
5, 6, 7, 8 that are ours and one that belongs to the state.
And are all of the trucks equipped the same, or is there different tools on different trucks?
So the engines are basically going to carry the same equipment. We have extrication equipment on one engine that the other engine does not currently have. We have a rescue truck that carries a little bit of everything on it. And then we have the tanker, which is exactly that. It's a tanker pumper.
Yep.
So it can be used to pump water.
Yep.
And then we have a mini pumper, which is a brush truck for us. You can use it in a lot of different fashions.
Now, I live up on Chatfield Drive, and mm-hmm. we do not have town water, and we do not have hydrants.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a fire up there, you're going to be using the pond
mm.
or Hill Mine pond.
Correct.
To get
water
from.
We can relay water. We can do tanker shuttles.
Yep.
I mean, there's plenty of ways that we can get water to a scene. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
I mean, so recently I was asked by an insurance company for a resident here in town for their homeowner's insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance requires that the fire department carry at least 4,000 gallons of water. We carry 6,300. Like, all the trucks, they stay full all the time, even when they're sitting in the firehouse right now. That's why it's kind of heated, so it doesn't freeze in the truck. But if we get a structure fire and everything rolls, we have 6,300 gallons of water on that initial attack. That gives us time to
get
like, a mutual aid. We got the tanker task force we can call. We get tankers, like, 11 different tankers from all over the place.
So you're pretty well covered.
Yes.
I know when I did my insurance for my house, I got a lower rate because I was within 3 miles of the firehouse, and then they went and they moved the firehouse on
me. Correct.
Yeah. That wasn't fair.
I mean, firehouses are, especially up here in the woods, they're kind of strategically planned.
Oh, yeah.
We carry a lot of water. Sharon has a ladder. Canaan has a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Falls Village kind of fits right in the middle of there.
Yep.
But you want to place stuff so everybody can work together.
Right.
Right.
Now, with these young people, there are certain restrictions that they can't do, and there are certain things they can't. What are some of the things they can do besides getting tools? I mean, if you have a road closure, can they work within that?
Within a road closure?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because essentially it then turns into a parking lot.
Okay.
But they are not allowed to be, like, in the road directing traffic if we close one lane.
Okay.
It has to be totally closed at both sides, and they can work within it.
And they can't go more than 6 feet off the ground.
Correct.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's not fun, because all of our hoses in the trucks are over 6 feet off the ground. So that keeps them from learning a very essential skill.
And the
hoses,
are the hoses fiber, or what are they made out of? What material are the hoses made out of?
So there's different layers to the hoses.
Yeah.
They have an inner layer, and then they have a woven outer layer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are for the small diameter hoses. The large diameter, they're not the woven outer layer.
Why did you get involved with the junior firefighting program?
Because I saw a need.
Couldn't be a better reason.
As stated previously, our average age is 58,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of these guys have another part of the figuring out how old our medium age is was how long has everybody been on the company?
In a long time.
And correct.
Yep.
Most of these guys have been on the company for 2/3 of their lives.
Again, it's family tradition.
It really is.
As it is with you.
There's a lot of legacy families.
Yep.
In the fire company. So, kids aren't really following in their parents' footsteps as they were back when I was a kid?
Oh, no. No, they're not. They're not following it all, as much as they did.
Yeah.
Unless there's an avenue which you're providing with the junior firefighting program.
Right.
And
right.
You said there were how many? Four?
We have four currently, yes.
And it's one girl and three boys?
Yes.
And she was elected captain?
She's the chief of the juniors, yes.
And that's Kirsten.
Yep.
And who are the other young men?
We have my son, who is Nathan Farwell. He's the assistant chief. And then there is Caleb White. He is our secretary now. Mm-hmm. And then there's Nick DeVito. He's the treasurer.
Is he
an
I or an E?
DEVITO.
All right, that's the only name I didn't have.
Yeah. And all the, except for Nick, those are all legacy kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Kirsten
I know.
Is Russell's daughter. Caleb is Mike, our lieutenant's son.
Yeah. Well, I had Mike in school. Mm-hmm. I had you in school, and I had your grandfather. Not in school, but I interviewed him. And I did Russell, who tried very hard to get his dad to do it, but he didn't. Anything that you want to add about the Junior Firefighting Company before we go on to the veterans part?
I don't think so. Just all of their training is in-house. There's not... I mean, the academy holds 1 week in the summer. It's kind of an introduction to the fire service that's geared towards the juniors. And they do have, like, a juniors week,
mm-hmm.
aside from that. But other than that, it's all in-house. It's all the current members that are responsible for the training. And really, the bulk of it falls on us as junior advisors. We try to pull in some of the other members to help, but...
Yeah, but there's got to be somebody that coordinates it.
Yep.
And runs it.
Yep, and that's Bob and I.
And you're the veteran liaison for the town of Salisbury.
Yes.
Are you having anything to do with the veterans program on the 9th at school or the 11th? At Noble? Are you doing anything with those?
I am not. Jason McGarry actually puts all of that together for Veterans Day.
Yeah. He's supposed to give me an interview. I've got the interview.
He is a very busy man.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
We did the talk session back in August.
Yep.
And this was the first time he's going to be back in town. So yes. I sort of said, Jason.
Yeah.
Oh, goody. You took over after James Bracey,
yes.
And this was part of your town hall responsibilities, and you were at the town hall full-time in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you got with that. Now, what do you actually do as liaison?
So, really, the bulk of it is organizing the Memorial Day parade, which... really puts itself together at this point. James has done such a great job. It puts itself together.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have a committee for that?
We do. It's myself and a couple other veterans.
Would be David Spiersdorfer.
Yep.
And
Chris Oman.
Oman and Chris Williams.
Yes.
Yep. And you also distribute the flags for the veterans at the cemeteries.
Yes.
You're in charge of that.
Well, so before every memorial, every beginning of May, we go around and totally replace every single flag
mm-hmm.
in all of the cemeteries in town. And then if somebody, God forbid we miss one, or the cemeteries are sold in this town, some of the stones you can't read, you don't know people's history. If the family comes forward and says, oh, my family member
mm-hmm.
was a veteran,
mm-hmm.
they'll tell us which stone,
mm-hmm.
and then I go out and put a bronze
And you've done very well with that, because with the oral histories, I've had people that have said to me, my great-grandfather was in such and such a war, and we don't have a flag, and so I let you know,
mm-hmm.
and you've been very good about that, which I greatly appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
It makes
a
difference.
It's important, yeah.
It's very important. They should be honored. How about... you do this in May, so it would be before Memorial Day. About how many flags do you distribute?
Oh, it's a lot. It's like 1,100 or 1,200 flags.
That's a goodly number for a small town.
It is.
It's a goodly number for a small town. Are you in charge of the gun salutes for Memorial Day at the various cemeteries?
Not in charge, but I do go.
Yeah?
It's the energy amongst the guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's
fantastic.
Yeah, that day it's really special. So for me to be a part of that, that's a big thing for me.
It makes your heart pitter-patter
a
little bit.
It is, because, I mean, it's really kind of sacred to them.
It is. It should be.
It was a tradition, really. The guys and Danny Brazy would go up, and it's obviously now different now that Danny's not with us anymore, but it has a lot of meaning.
It has a lot of meaning, and they do it to honor their comrades.
Yes.
And it's very special, and it's very important to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for them to invite me along, it's an honor.
It is an honor.
Yeah.
And you appreciate that.
Oh,
honor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The guns are stored in a closet at the town hall.
They're in a gun safe, yes, in one of the rooms in the basement.
And they actually belong to the commander of the American Legion post.
That's who they are registered
to.
To, yes.
And at this point, that's Jason McGarry.
Yes.
Okay, I got that sorted out. you're also on the War Memorial Committee.
Yes.
How's that coming along? Slowly.
Yes. Our goal was, well, Jason's goal was really to try to have it done by Memorial or by Veterans Day weekend. But it's obviously not going to be done.
It's not
going to
be done.
We want to do it right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're missing a huge chunk of time for people that needed to be added on there. You know,
oh,
so we want to make sure
that you get everybody.
That we get everybody and it's done the right way.
Now, Mary Barton's on the committee.
Yep.
You're on the committee.
Yep.
Jason McGarry's on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Rachel.
Is Rachel on the committee or is she secretary taking notes?
Both.
She's okay, she's on the committee too. And then there's me. Anything more that you want to add to this portion before we close?
I don't think so. I mean, another part of being a veteran liaison is, I mean, really, per the state statute, every town is supposed to have a liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really there to help veterans, if they have any issues, kind of be exactly that, a liaison between them and the VA, try to help them
cope with a very complicated, yeah.
Yeah, try to help them through the VA system or, you know.
Have you had any men or women that you've had to help that way?
I haven't yet. I think all the veterans around here are older.
Yeah.
So and they already know their way through that system.
What's the closest VA facility here? Chicopee?
There's one in New Haven. And then there's one out in New York State somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where that one's at.
I'm Massachusetts, so I'm familiar with the Massachusetts one, sort of. I mean, going by on the Mass Turnpike, but that's about it. All right. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
This
Thank
has
you.
Been wonderful.
Yes.